Okay, we are holding. Pause the Gid Aleph. We spoke about last time, Ratav Esh, Besusei Esh, by Afridu Ben Shneim. So we said that some Mefarshim learned that Elio went up on that Rechev, and that's what the chariot was for. We said Rav Mefarshim didn't learn that way. We said that Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel, in the next pasuk, when Elisha cries out, Avi Rechev Yisrael, Targum Yonasan said that it's referring, he's saying, your tefillos are better than Rechev Parashim, and it's for us. What? You know, and that's what this was a simon, that Eliyahu's tefillos were better than Rechev Uparashim. Let's see that. Oh, the Radak said that, I'm sorry. The Radak said that, yeah. Yeah. Okay, now, the Gemara in the Yerushalmi in Bracha says that when a person takes leave of his friend, Ish al yifter elamitaych davar shal taira. Person take leave of his friends, he shouldn't, the Gemara says, he shouldn't be schaik, and it shouldn't be this, dvarim betalim. Rather, when they say goodbye to each other, they should be leaving mitaych divrei taira. And the Gemara says, the raya is, Elio, lahiniach, Elisha, elamitaych divrei taira. That Elio didn't leave Elisha, elamitaych divrei taira. And that was one of the pshatim we said last time, that the Eish was the Eish HaTaira. Just like by Yonasan ben Uzziel, used to burn things up on top of him, and different places where we find that there's an Eish of Taira. So the Yerushalmi is saying that Elio left Elisha mitach divrei Taira. So the Gemara asks, what were they learning? What were they talking about? And do we know what they're talking about? So there's a couple of different opinions in the Gemara. One shot is they were talking about Kriya Shema, or they were saying Kriya Shema. Someone else says they were talking about Briya Sa'ilam. Another opinion is Nechamas Yerushalayim they were talking about. And a fourth opinion was that they were talking about Maisa Merkava. The Shechina. And each one has a limud because it says here, Halach v'daber, so let's say kriyashmaz v'dibartabam. Each one has a limud from the pasuk of why he didn't just pick this, just pull it out of his hat that he decided this is what they're talking about. Each one has a raya from the pasuk, which I won't go through each one. Each one has a raya from the pasuk to his opinion. So we see here, the Yerushalmi is going with the opinion that they were talking with Divrei Taira, and there's really another Gemara also that says, by Yosef, he told the brothers, Al-Tir Gezubaderech, that they shouldn't talk in learning on the way back to Eretz Canaan. So the Gemara asks, how is it possible for Yosef to tell them not to learn? Shnei Tamidei Chachamim, Ma'alchem Baderech, Tuvu Tamidei Chachamim, who are going on the road, Ve'ein Beinem Divrei Taira, and they don't learn? So they're in big trouble. Roy Lister Feish, it says, they should be burnt up in fire. And the Gemara brings a proof from Elio and Elisha. Because over here there was a fire, and they didn't get burned up. Why didn't they get burned up? Because they were learning. So the Gemara asked this question, how could you, Yosef, tell them not to learn? But the point that we're bringing out, that you see also that the Gemara understood Kipshutai, that Elio and Elisha were talking in Divrei Taira. The Gemara answers the question that depends. Of course, you have to learn, but there's reviewing, and then there's learning new things that you have to think about. If you're busy thinking of new things, you end up losing your way. So, but if you review things, so then it's things you know already. You don't have to pay as much attention, and you can pay attention to the road. So, therefore, when he said, "I'll take you to Badar," but then you don't learn at all. He meant to say, "Make sure you don't get lost." Yeah. They were going, and there was a fire here, and they didn't get burned up.
They didn't get burned up, right? Okay.
Okay, now Vayal Elio Basara Hashamayim. Elio went up in a storm, Basara, to Shamayim. Now this is a very, very big sugya here in what really happened to Elio. A lot of Mefarshim, we won't go through all of them, but we will go through some of them. What happened to Elio? The Radak says that the truth is, Elio died. What does it mean, Vayal Elio Basara Shamayim? So the Radak has a whole Shekel Torah here, what Shamayim means. But basically he says that Elio flew up, and when he got to a certain point called Shamayim, his neshama left his guf, and his neshama continued up to the Shamayim Hol Yoinim, and his guf got burnt up by an Eish Hol Yoini, some type of fire that's up in the heavens. His guf got burnt up. There was a point that his guf couldn't go any further. It got burnt up, and his neshama went up to Shamayim. When a neshama leaves the guf, that's called Misa. So he died. There was no kura, there was no body left, but if you want to know what happened to him, his neshama left his guf, and his neshama went up to Shamayim. Yeah?
I thought that the neshama to go to Shamayim, the body has to be buried.
I guess there was an exception. I don't know. Now, the Abarbanel brings this Radak, this I think, I didn't look up if there's a Abarbanel here. I know there's a very long Abarbanel at the end of his Eisa Brocha that talks about this. And he says, if that's what happened, so why was there such a big to-do over here? I mean, it wasn't a regular Misa, but it doesn't sound like that from the Psukim, that at the end of the day what happened to him was that he was mace. He was mace in a different oifen than other people are mace. But at the end of the day he was mace. It doesn't sound like that. Amongst, there's many kashas on the Radak chat. Abarbanel. He just asked the question. He says, not mashma like that. We'll get to his chat in a moment. The Ralbag, he brings a Gemara, there's an interesting Gemara that says that, I'm just going to say over the Gemara exactly what the Pshat is, I'm not going to get into, because I probably don't know, but we'll say over the Gemara as is, and the Gemara says, Me'oilam lo yorad ha-shechina lamata, that the Shechina never came down all the way down to this world, and Moshe and Elio never really went up to Shamayim. How do I know that? Because it says Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem V'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. That means Hashem stays in the Shemayim and he doesn't come to the Aretz, and people stay in the Aretz and they don't go to the Shemayim. So says the Gemara, Hashem never came down to this world, and Elio and Moshe never went up to Shemayim. So the Gemara says, that's wonderful. We have a pasuk here that says Vayal Elio Basara Hashemayim. He went up. So the Gemara says, there's Lamaila Me'asara and Lamata Me'asara. There's above 10 Tvachim, and then there's below 10 Tvachim. When it says the Shechina never came down, it means it never came below Asara. When they didn't go up, They never went up above Asara. Now, this Asara Tvachim doesn't mean our Tvachim, because that's 30 inches, so it's when you say Moshe and Elio, they went up somewhere, they went above 30, it means they got onto this desk, right? So it's not obviously not that. Some Ruchnius Asara that we're talking about here. So says the Ralbag, so you obviously see from here that a person can't go up to Shemayim. So what does it mean Elio went up? There's a Makam Gavaya, says the Ralbag, a very high place. Where that place is, he says, Ad Hayoim Loinoida Mekoimai, says the Ralbag. Until today, we don't even know where that place is, but that's the place that Elio went, and he's living there. A person can't go up to Shemayim. That's what Chazal told us. Shemayim, Shemayim, Lashem. So what does it mean he went up? He went up to a Makam Gavaya. He's living there. Where it is, says the Ralbag, Ad Hayoim Loinoida Mekoimai. Till today, we still can't find it. We're not people. He was alive. Right? He was alive. Alive people can't go up to Shemayim. After a person's nifter, the Shaman's Ruchni. Ruchni can go up.
What did he say about
Sarah? She's for sure. She never says anywhere she went up to Shemayim alive.
No, I mean, people
that
didn't die.
They didn't die. Different story, but not dying and going up to Shemayim are two separate things. Right? So wherever she is, she is. But he, it says he went up to Shemayim. That means he's not here in this world. So he's somewhere, but it's in a higher place. Yeah?
Where's Moshe?
Shemayim died. By Yomus Moshe.
But
then when he went up to Shemayim by Matan Torah.
Oh,
by
Matan.
Yeah, by Matan Torah. When it says he went up to Shemayim. Okay, that's the Ralbag. The Radak in another chat. And the Abarbanel. They say that there's something called Gan Eden HaTachton. There's Gan Eden HaElyon and Gan Eden HaTachton. Another subject I don't know anything about.
Is that where Adam and Chava were?
Adam and Chava were in Gan Eden HaTachton. In this world is Gan Eden somewhere. If you go look in the Rishonim over there by Gan Eden, in Parshas Bereishis, Rabbeinu Bechai and others, they talk about this Gan Eden HaTachton. Gan Eden HaTachton, it's a Makam Ruchani that's somewhere in this world. It's not the Gan Eden that Tzadikim go to in the Shamayim. The Gan Eden Adam HaRishon was in this world. It wasn't Shamayim, but Nar Yetzim Eden, there were rivers going out of it. It's a real place in this world. So there's the Gan Eden HaTachton where Adam HaRishon was. The Sa'ara came, took Elio, and it placed him in the Gan Eden HaTachton, and that's where he is. And Abarbanel has a whole arichus why Elio belongs there, because he got himself back to the matzav of Adam Arishin Kaidem Achet. He was misakin a whole bunch of things, and therefore Adam Arishin Kaidem Achet belongs in Gan Eden. Elio belongs in Gan Eden at Tachzeh.
Till today?
Till today. There's a Gan Eden, it exists.
Must be a very lonely place. No, he has a Shekhinah, and he sits there writing down every week what every single person interpreted the
Torah. Who
says that? Every Shabbos he writes down everything that every single person for the Shabbos.
That's anywhere he is. That's only Gan Eden.
Oh, we learned Rabbi Elchanan said in Gan Eden he says every Shabbos.
Okay. Meant Tatachton or Elion?
He didn't Gan Eden.
Okay. So this is a concept that is a Gan Eden. This gets into the old Bali Musa talk about something called the fourth dimension. Remember the fourth dimension? We talked about last year. The fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is a very simple thing, and that is, and this is Yisayid, the Nafsh HaChaim talks about this, and in Ovis they talk about Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah, that a person could experience Gan Eden in this world, which means to say as follows. You can only experience what you know. For example, we know this, we have three dimensions. But if you would put a whole bunch of stick people up here on the board in two dimensions, right? They're only in two dimensions, right? They don't have any depth to them. So if you fill up the entire board with stick people on this board here, and it would be very, very squishy. There would be no room for them to walk, right? They only have two dimensions. What would be if for a moment you would open up the third dimension called this room? There's depth to this board. The board, the room has depth to it. All of a sudden they would see that they're all crowded in there because they're only in two dimensions, but there's a whole third dimension here and a whole big empty room here that they could go to. But they don't know anything about it because they're in two dimensions. Everyone lost me already? My Kabbalah, it's a very simple thing. It's a very simple thing. We're in three dimension. We're in three. There's a fourth dimension. It's called Ruchnius. We can't get there. Why was it in the Beit HaMikdash they would stand squished together, and when it came time to bow down, everyone had Dalet Amos? What happened? It was an eight. The Beit HaMikdash, if you were standing outside, did you see the Beit HaMikdash expand? No. The Rebbeinu Shlomo opened up that fourth dimension called Ruchnius. It's right here. Why is it that a Malach, where does he go when he appears and disappears? He just walks in and out of the fourth dimension. It's in called Ruchni. That's why Nevi Shalom says, when you do a mitzvah, you're surrounded with Gan Eden. Where'd that come from? There's a little peephole. So Gan Eden Atachton is somewhere in this world. We'll never find it, and anyone who looks for it won't be able to find it until Hashem opens that door to the fourth dimension called Ruchni. That is, in a nutshell, the fourth dimension. That's the Yisoid Gadol to know about. That's what the Svarim talk about when you do a mitzvah, you enveloped a little bit in Gan Eden. And Avshe Chaim talks about this, and a lot of the Mefarshim talk about it. That is the schar of the mitzvah itself. The ruchnius of the mitzvah is the schar itself. Okay, anyways, that's Gan Eden Atachtein. If you find the door to it, you'll find Elio there, says the Radak and of Abinel.
Is that
how people
are like
that,
like
the Elisha? Like Elio, like the
comes to them. Right, I'm saying, like, is that because
they did so many that they... Well, how someone's really for Gil Elio? I don't know. It's being a high madriga, I guess. Oh, because you mean this only means you have so much Canadian around you?
Yes.
That's what you mean to say? I don't know. I never thought about it that way, but... Now the Chassam Sofer goes along these lines, but he says an interesting thing. It's a long Chubas Chassam Sofer that he says Eliyahu did not go up with his guf to Shemayim. His guf is in Gan Eden Atachtein. However, his neshama went up to Shemayim. No, because we'll see in a minute why.
If his neshama is in Gan Eden Atachtein, it's still physical.
His neshama went up to Shemayim, his guf is in Gan Eden
Atachtein.
His neshama, his lashon is, his neshama is oile u'mishamish l'mayla bein malachi asharis. His neshama goes up and serves Hashem like malachim do. His guf remained down here in Gan Eden Atachtein. Says the Chassam Sofer as follows. That we find Elio coming down to this world in two different ifanim. Sometimes he appears in a body, and sometimes he doesn't. We find he comes in his body and he teaches Torah. There's a story in the Gemara that Elio, one of the Amiraim, Rabbi Barbachana, found Elio in a Beis HaKvaris. And he tells him, how can you be Beis HaKvaris? Assuming you're Pinchas, you're a Kayan. And a Kayan is not allowed to be in a Beis HaKvaris. So what did he answer him? No, he said, you're right, but these are Kivrei Akum. These are Goyim and Goyim Mar Metame. He didn't say, I'm a Malach and I don't have any mitzvahs. I died on any mitzvahs. So says the Chassam Sofer, when Elio appears in this world in his guf, he's like a regular person and he's chayv in mitzvahs. And therefore, he couldn't answer that I'm a Malach, because he's not, he's in his guf. And therefore when he comes and he teaches Torah, he's like one of the tzaddikim teaching Torah in his guf. And the Chassam Sofer says that's how it's going to be lost in Lava. He's going to come back to us with the Besura of Mashiach in his guf. As the one of the tzaddik hadar, or the tzaddik hadar, he's going to come back and tell us. He's going to teach us Torah, and he's going to teach us and tell us about Mashiach. When he comes to Brits, he doesn't come in his guf. There he comes, just as his neshama, and then he's b'tayrus malach, and he doesn't have the restrictions of a person.
But when he comes in his guf, his neshama comes with him.
Yeah, when his neshama goes into his guf, it's mislavish in his guf. And it comes. Now, let's go to the Shaila. Now, if we have different mefarshim here, exactly what happened to Eliyahu, we'll go to the shaila that was asked last time. What about Eliyahu's wife? This is a shaila in the Rishayim. I made a mistake. I said it's a Gemara. It's a shaila in the Rishayim. And it's even brought in halacha, really. The shaila is Eishes Eliyahu, and the shaila is also, there's other people who went alive. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, it says, jumped into Gan Eden alive. So, but let's leave with Eliyahu. Eishes Eliyahu is she mutter or not. So, yeah.
So, she's
an aguna? She's still married. Not an aguna. So, the Rama brings this Shaila, and he brings it b'shem the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen was one of the later Rishonim. And he says, the Trumas Hadeshen holds she's mutter. Why? Because the Torah only answered Eishes Ish and not Eishes Malach. And the Ramah says, why am I bringing this? I'm halacha sefer. There's nafkah min halacha. It might mean a gay. If there's anyone else that's zaycha to such a thing, they'll have to tell their wife what to do. So it's nagay halacha. That's the Trumas Hadeshen. Some other mefarshim, they argue. And they bring a raya from this story of Eliyahu and the Beis HaKvaras. They said, if Eliyahu is the malach, so why didn't he answer that I'm a malach and I'm allowed to be in the Beis HaKvaras? I'm not a kain anymore. I don't have mitzvahs. Must be, says these other mefarshim, that it's not true. Eliyahu's halacha is that he's a person, and therefore, if it wouldn't be a geisha place, he wouldn't be able to become tameh. And if he's a person, that means his wife is an eishes ish. So that's a machlaikas. Now, the truth is that this proof is not really such a good proof anymore, according to the way the Chassam Sefer explained. Because according to the Chassam Sefer, Eliyahu's neshama left his guf. That's called, quote unquote, death, right? That means his wife is not married to him anymore. If he happens to come back to this world, get into his guf, and that, the Chassam Sefer says, whenever he appears in his guf, he has a halacha like a person, and he has to keep the mitzvahs. So therefore, when he was in the Beit HaKvaras, he was a person, and he had to keep the mitzvahs. But he didn't get remarried to his wife. His wife became mutter the minute he left. His neshama left his guf, she became mutter. So the raya, to bring a raya that she still called an Eishes Ish, from that Gemara that you see, or all these Gemaras, that you see that he has halachas of a person, according to the Chassam Sefer's explanation, is not really such a good proof anymore. Because Chassam Sefer said that Eliyahu's neshama left his body. That by definition is Misa, and his wife becomes mutter. If he has a tchiyas hameisim, right, because his neshama goes back into his guf, and we say whenever he comes back in his guf, he has a halach of a person, but he never got remarried. So his wife became mutter. So that proof is really not such a good proof.
The proof of what?
The proof that he is still an ish, and she is an ashes ish. From all these gemaras that says that he's chayiv in mitzvahs, like the Beis HaKvaras gemara. According to Tam Sefer's explanation of that gemara, it's not a proof, because that means he came back as a person. Coming back means he died and he came back. Coming back doesn't make her an Eishes Ish anymore. She was already became an almana, and now her husband came back to the world, but she's mutter and finished. So that proof is not such a good proof. So, but either which way, obviously, those who learn that way didn't learn like the Chassam Sefer. But that's a machlokes here. If Eishes Pinchas, Eishes Eliyahu would be mutter. But the Rama brings the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen holds that is Eishes Ish or Eishes Malchan would be mutter, if this is Nageya. Okay. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis. And obviously the Pida Radak, who says that this was a regular Misa, then for sure died. She's for sure Mutter. The Shaila doesn't even begin. It's only if you assume that he went alive somewhere that this Shaila begins. Okay. Velisha Rayev, Umitzak, Abi Rechav Yisrael Parashav, Veloi Ra'ahu Oitz. So Elisha saw this and he cried out, Avi, Avi, my father, my father. Rechav Yisrael Parashav, Veloi Ra'ahu Oitz, and he didn't see him. And he took hold of his own clothing, and he tore them, he tore kriya. Vishnayim kroim to two tears. The Gemara learns from here that a Talmud is mechuyev to tear kriya when his Rebbe is nifter, number one. Rebbe Muvuk for sure. And the second halacha the Gemara learns from here is there are certain kriyas, if chas v'shalom anyone ever has to tear kriya, sometimes after the period of avelus the tear is allowed to be sewn up, and sometimes the tear is not allowed to be sewn up. Like you find if someone tears kriya by the kaisel, so they're not allowed to, you're not allowed to ever sew up that tear anymore. The avelus on the kaisel and on the Beis Hamikdash is so strong that if you don't, when it's a very strong kriya, a tear for a parent also. What? It's not. Maybe it's not over.
When he leaves.
No, when he leaves, he's not mechuyev in it anymore. So therefore the Gemara says a tear for a Rebbe, you're also a person is also not allowed to sew up. How do you know that? Because it says here and he tore them. It should have ended there. Why did the Pasuk hear you lishnayim kraim to two tears into two pieces, and remain two pieces. Lishayim Kraim will remain two pieces, which we learn from there that a Rebbe to a Talmud is not allowed to sew it up. I mean a Talmud to Rebbe, I'm sorry. What? Kriya what?
Well, can you sew up?
Which ones? For siblings, for this. Now, the Gemara asked a very obvious question here. Did Elio die?
He died.
So if he didn't die, so what's he tearing kriya for? The Gemara asked this question. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, Elio is chai, he's alive. So why did Elisha tear kriya?
Because he doesn't have his tablet there to tear for us.
So he answered him because it says, V'loi ra'ahu oit, he never saw him again. So therefore, to him, to Elisha, it's as if he died.
Is that always the halacha?
So one sec. What do you mean, is that always the halacha? Okay, so that's a good question. So it would seem from here that if someone takes leave of his Rebbe, and he knows he's never going to see his Rebbe again, perhaps it sounds like he should tear kriya. So there's two Rishayim here. The Ritva, one of the Rishayim says, no. This is only Elio who went up to Shamayim, who we knew he wasn't going to see again. But if a Rebbe goes, his Lashon is L'medina Sayam, he goes to a faraway place, Rabbis Machshavas B'Levish, you think you're not going to see him? You never know. It's possible we could see him. He's still alive. Who knows if he'll make it or come back. It is, just because you think that you're never going to see him again? That's the Ritva. So the Ritva seems to say, since it's always possible you could see him again, but what would be? We didn't get to the real Shiloh. The question is, but what would be if you know 1,000,000%? However you're going to figure that out. 1,000,000% that it's not Shiloh if you'll see him again. Would there be a chi of kriya or not? Is this a halacha of leroi for everyone? Just technically it's impossible because after shiroi you might see him again or not? So the ritva sounds like since by everyone else it's possible, it's not called saying goodbye. But if someone would 1,000,000% know they'll never see them again, perhaps they would have to tear Kriya. However, one of the other Rishayim, the Meiri, says no. His lashon is la'olam ein kairin el alameis. A person could only tear kriya for someone who is nifter. V'lo yalachai. A person never tears kriya for someone who's alive, even if he knows bivadai shelo yireu oit. Even if he knows he'll never see him again. One second. V'afalpi, and even though Elisha tore kriya, says the Meiri, Soid Hashem Lireyov. Which means, this is a very shveramais of the whole thing, and we don't understand it, and therefore, you can't learn these type of halachas from there. The halach of kriya, obviously the Gemara learns from there. But if you want to take situations from here and try to be midama them, compare them to real life situations, quote unquote, that you can't do. Kasayit Hashem Lireyev. That's the lashon of the Meiri. Now it's a given to him, there's no such thing as tearing kriya on a live person. You want to know what happened here? We don't know. There's nothing to, you can't learn from it. Yeah.
This child married
the guy. That's Ki'ilu Mei. That's a different word. Yeah. Person could tear kriya. That's
Who does that?
The Meiri.
What is like a relative? I mean, what is like a relative name? I don't know.
Married mate?
Or child or someone else?
I don't know.
Child or
remember.
Well,
you want to know what? If it's a relative? My only person in the child. Okay. Okay, so that is that. Now there is a shaila that Barbanel in the end of his Eis Habracha has a whole arichas, and it seems to bother him. Why Moshe Rabbeinu died? Vayamasham Moshe. It seems Elio Chanoich, they went up to Shemayim alive somehow. So the Abarbanel is very bothered by this, and this fits into the Abarbanel before they go together, that he said that he really didn't go up to Shemayim, he was going to eat the Natak and these same things. But this is where his kash is coming from. So one of his kash is bothering him, Vayamasham Moshe. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu die? And he all has all arichas over there. And he has a bunch of different mahalchim. But according to the way that Eliyahu just went to Gan Eden Atachtain, so it's not so shver. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem wanted to go to Gan Eden Elyon. It's not such a... It's a godless to be able to not die, but it depends where the person's supposed to go. Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to go up to Shemayim, to the Kisei HaKavod. A guf doesn't go up to the Kisei HaKavod. Eliyahu's guf didn't go up there. It went to Gan Eden Atachtain, which is in Olam Ruchani and all these things. It's a wonderful place. We're not taking away. But Adarabba, Moshe Rabbeinu, in other words, when you look at things in a very simple way, it sounds like going up alive is a bigger mila than dying, you would think. And the answer, after we see this whole Indian here, that it's not so simple. It's not so simple to get up there alive. A lot of the Pirushim hold, they didn't go up anywhere alive. They're still wandering around somewhere. It's a mila, but it's not the mila of going, being nifter. Depends who also. Obviously for them it was considered a mile, right? I don't know how to don these things up. But somewhere in that thing, the Abarbanel says a lashon that Moshe Rabbeinu had to go to such a high place that it was impossible to any goof, even the biggest goof that can make it up to Shemayim, can't get near that place. And therefore it was necessary for his neshama to leave his goof. There's another Meshech Chachma somewhere in Yisra, I think, or Mishpatim, one of those places, where he says that Moshe Rabbeinu really, his guf was pure ruchni, there was no guf. The Lo Yada Ish Es Kfurasai, who's the Ish? Well, Ish Maisha, even Maisha Rabbeinu didn't know where his own burial place was, because there is no Makam Kura, because he has no guf. His guf was so, Maisha Rabbeinu purified his guf to such a degree of ruchnias that it flew up to Shamayim as a neshama. It was a neshama. It was ruchni. It wasn't a guf. So therefore, you can't compare Moshe Rabbeinu and Elio. Elio had a goof. So even if he went up to Shemayim, when it says Vayom Hashem Moshe, the Pshat Moshe Rabbeinu left this world entirely, meaning because there was no goof. His neshama and his goof were fused into one, so to speak. It was one Inyan Ruchni. But it's interesting to know that there's a medrash that says, a lashon, that three people went up the Shimshu Lamaila. Three people went up and they're serving Hashem in Shemayim. Elio, Chanoich, and Moshe. And the medrash says, V'lo Yehlu V'vad, not only those three, Ela Kol HaTzadikim Kein, all Tzadikim are really like this. Der Oilim U'Mishamshim B'Maroim Shenemar B'Nosati L'cha Mahalchim Bein Ha'im Dimayla. That I'm going to put Mahalchim, people, Bein Ha'im Dimayla, amongst Ha'im Dim, the Malachim, which are all the Tzadikim who are Mishamish, and the Lashon is V'Yilmei Tzosa Min HaMefurish. Even though it doesn't say this whole story over here by all Tzadikim, it says Elio, it says Chanoich, I don't know what to do with Moshe. But even though we don't make a big tiram at all tzaddikim, says the Medrash, all tzaddikim are really like this. So the Abba Avinel is very busy, number one, why Moshe and Eliyahu are different. The Medrash seems to say that they were similar. And then the Medrash goes on to say that there's not such a big deal. All real tzaddikim, all big tzaddikim are like this. And even though it doesn't make a big deal about it in the Pesukim every time, but the Torah said it mefurish, the Navi said it mefurish in some places, and you apply that to other tzaddikim too. Okay, that is that. So what happens there in Pasuk Gimel? Vayarim es aderes Elio asher naflo me'alav. So the aderes of Elio, which was that was the simon we said before, that was his adarsai. That's how he that's the baguette that the Nevi'im used to wear. That's what he used to split the Yarden. So Elisha picked it up. Asher naflo me'alav, it fell from him. Most Mefarshim learn that it just fell off. Some Mefarshim do say that Elio Bedafka drafted and left it for Elisha to take. And now, Vayosha Vayamer Osvas HaYarden. Elisha has to go get across the Yarden, back now across the Yarden. So he's got to go back. Now, we're going to see, starting now, Elisha is going to start doing a lot of very big mitzvahs. The Mefarshim say that Eliyahu did 8 big mitzvahs that we know about. Elisha is going to do 16. L'kayim ha-shenemar, pishnayim, that he got doubles, so he's going to double the amount. It's a little bit hard cheshvin, because if you count, you'll only find 15. The Mefarshim are busy where the 16th came in. But that's what the Mefarshim say. And Abba Avinel says an interesting thing. That when Elio was alive, his lashon is, Loishar sal Elisha ruach nevuah. Elisha didn't have the ruach nevuah, at least to the same degree for sure, that he had afterwards. And he didn't do, he wasn't able to do any maifsim, any oisos, he didn't find him doing any miracles. And when Elio was taken away, says Abba Avinel, Miyad Nochal of Ruach Elikim, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Ruach rested on him, and now he started saying Nevuah and Maifsim. Says the Abba Avinel, we learn from here that a person should not be Moira Hayra Bifnei Rabbi. That a person is not allowed to act as a leader, as a Paisik in front of his Rebbe. Now be Moira Bifnei Rabbi. So Kozman Elio is alive. Elisha's not doing Nevuah. Elisha's not, you're not getting Nevuah. He's not able to do Maifsim. Why? Because Elio's here. It's not my business. Or Hashem's not allowing him to do it. Exactly how it worked, I'm not sure. But that's the idea. He wasn't able to do it because, to teach us, a person is not Moira Hayra Bifnei Rabbi. Elio's not here anymore. So now Elisha's the Rebbe. Elisha's the Rebbe. So now his Kaich has come out and what he's able to do. Moira Hayra Bifnei Rabbi. And you find it amongst the Gedolim, Tzaddikim, that when the Rebbe was alive, he didn't know from them. The stipler who calls Mamachaz Benish was alive, people didn't know he knew anything. I mean, he was a Talmud Chacham, he said, and learn, no one clapped who he was, calls Mamachaz Benish was alive. Chazanish was Nifter, so there were a few people, a few Talmid Chachamim, who knew who the stipler was, and they were Megala him to the world. Isaiah the Zechariah and the Rakhar of Kreiser in Chicago in the 50s used to tell, I heard this from some of his Talmidim, he used to tell them that the Olam knows that there's a Bnei Brak with a Chazanish, but they don't know there's a Bnei Brak with a Bank of Yisrael, the stipler. They don't know who he is. He claimed he was responsible for being Megala, the stipler to the world in those years. They didn't know from him. They didn't know from him. He used to mamish be mevatel himself to the Chazanish, like a Talmud b'fnei Rav, like a child. He didn't pass, he didn't do anything. Everything was like Chazanish is the Chazanish. So this is the idea of not the pshat just not being moira hayra, not to give a psak, not even acting as a leader b'chlal, not even acting totally being mevatel to the Rebbe. Okay. So now what happens? He's got to go back to the other side. Vayikach et Aderes Elio. This is a little bit of a hard passage to read. He took the Aderes Elio, Asher Naflo Me'olov, that had fallen from him. Vayake es Hamayim. Pshuta, it means, and Elisha hit the water, and nothing happened. Vayoymar, so he said, Ayei Hashem Elike Elio. Where is Hashem, the God of Elio? Meaning, Elio split the Yarden, but it's not Elio's kayak, it's Hashem. Hashem, Afu. Hashem is still here. Afu means also him. Hashem is still here. Where is the Hashem of Elio? He's still here. So how come it's not working? Vayakes Amayim, so he hit the water a second time. And then, Vayichatu Heine Vayina Vayavar Elisha. And it split, and Elisha went through. I'm just thinking, we said a pshat last time, heina v'heina means it split twice. So it's a little shver from this pasuk, right? So over here it didn't have to split. Over there, the point was to split once for Elio and for Elisha. Over here, only Elisha's on his way back. All right, I have an answer, but okay, fine. All right, put this in cholera. What?
What's this?
I didn't say the pshat that's going to lead to the answer, which I wasn't going to say, but now we'll get there in a minute. That's just Hara Balma. You don't have to know the answer to everything, right? I know, girls don't like unanswered questions. That's Pasha Pshat, which sounds like Elisha had to hit twice. However, most Rishonim don't learn that way. They learn that Elisha only hit the water once. And now the question is how to read the pasuk. So there's two ways to read the pasuk with having hit once. The first way to read it is Vayika Chasaderes Elio Asher Naflo Me'ola Vayake Samayim. He took the Aderes of Elio that had fallen off of him, Vayake Samayim, that Elio had used to hit the water. And he said, I don't need Elio, but Ayeh Hashem like Elio, there's Hashem here. So Apu Vayake Samayim, Elisha also went and hit the water, and they split. So the first Vayake Samayim is describing that Elio had used the Aderes to hit the water. And then you read it together, Apu Vayake Samayim, so also him, Elisha, hit the water. What? He was just saying, I don't need Elio, I have Hashem. Right? Or the other way, it's the same idea, just to flip it around. He took the Aderes, and Elisha hit the water. And he said, as he hit it, after he hit it, I don't know exactly, he said, Ayei Hashem Elike Elio Afu Vayake Samayim. Where is the Hashem of Elio? And he, Elio, had hit the water. And then they split. So either way, in both pshatim, he's referring to Eliyo who had hit the water, and then Elisha hit it himself. So either the pshat is the first one's a description, which fits him a little bit better in the pasuk. And then it says Afu Vayakas Amayim, and Elisha also hit it. And the second way to learn is Vayakas Amayim, the first one is Elisha, and he said, "Where is Hashem?" The Elikeliyo, because Hashem is the one who actually does it. That Afu Vayakas Amayim, that I had just hit the water. Eliyo had also in the past hit the water, and then Hashem said, "Okay, Vayichatsu," and they actually split. Yeah.
The second one sounds more of a complaint.
Well, so I'm saying I'm not sure when it says Vayakas Amayim, maybe it didn't split immediately. Right? So he said, Hashem, Hashem can't do it, so to speak. So,
is that
then it works.
Question?
No, why? How to answer it?
Because it's still describing
Yavin. Right? No, by Yechatz, is for sure talking about Elisha. What? Oh, that's what you mean. Afu vayakzna vayachatzu vahena vahena kama, and then vayavar Elisha? So the pasuk never says that it's split for Elisha, really. I mean, it's a given, according to that. Okay. That's good. I wasn't thinking of that answer, but that's a good answer. Okay, so I don't have to say the other answer. Okay.
I don't understand the one, so I need the other one.
Okay, you know what? We're going to stop over here.